One way that you can tangibly show kindness is through something we've placed in your seat, okay, or on your seat, and that is the Love OKC One Day, all right? That's just around the corner. It is coming up just a few Saturdays, August the 19th, and this is so big. We do the state fairgrounds. We rent it out, and we have thousands of people come, and there are honored guests, those that are marginalized in our community that we go and we serve. We give them the gospel. We also cut hair. We do medical treatment, dental treatment. We have social services there. We have job search. We have family portraits. We have food there on the site. We also send them away with a week's worth of food. It is just an amazing day. We have fun for the kids. We have prayer for every single person that comes through the place that day, and it is just an amazing day of life change that you can be a part of making a difference in Oklahoma City. And so sign up by just filling this out and giving it to one of the ushers in one of the buckets as you exit today, okay? Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We're looking at the book of Ephesians chapter number 4 today. Ephesians chapter number 4. We're starting a new series called Radical, Volume 2. Last year at this time, we did Radical, Volume 1, and basically we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Last year we went 5 weeks. I kind of did an opening on the fruit of the Spirit, and then we went each week on one of the fruits of the Spirit. Today, we're going to kick off for the next 5 weeks. We're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, in Galatians chapter number 5, it mentions what the fruit of the Spirit are. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, okay? And we're going to be isolating in on one word today. That word is kindness, if you didn't already pick that up with what Pastor Hedy was talking about. So Ephesians chapter number 4, I'm going to start with verse number 31. I'm going to continue over into chapter number 5 of Ephesians. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's amazing how it keeps creeping back into our life. Anybody say yes to that? It keeps creeping back. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, loving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Come on. In our world, if there is one thing we need more of, is kindness. Anybody agree with that? We just need more kindness. You see it, the lack of it on the news. You see it places you go. You are encountered with it personally, maybe even in your home. Everywhere we go, we can use a whole lot more kindness. When I think of radical, that word, one of the words that comes that's attached to that is radical Islam, right? Everybody thinks of radical Islam. When you think of radical Islam, what do you think about? You think of death. You think of evil. You think of bad. You think of those things that are destructive. Okay, when you think of radical Christianity, what do you think about? Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is a call to radical Christianity. Following Christ is radical living. Okay, love. To love your enemies is radical. Patience with those who are harming you or hurting you or trying your, that's radical. Self-control. Self-control. When in a society where he says, do what makes you feel good, what makes you feel happy, whatever feels at the moment, and then the Bible says, no, 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 you're called to radical living, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. Well, we're going to nail down today kindness, because it is radical to be kind to those who are not kind to you. It is radical to be patient and loving and kind and give mercy to somebody who doesn't deserve it, right? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you just help me today. I so desperately need your power, your Holy Spirit, to anoint me. God, I can't make it without you. I cannot speak the words that you want me to speak with the anointing that you have in store without you. But God, same way with every person listening to me, we must hear what the Spirit is saying to us. I pray this in your name. And everyone said, Amen. You may be seated. So last weekend, I was in the Dominican Republic. I've actually been here on Thursday nights throughout this last series called Stories. How many of you enjoy the Stories series? Pretty powerful, wasn't it? And so I was here every Thursday night on the front row worshiping, really enjoyed the series. But on the weekends, I was preaching some of the churches we've helped start in Denver, and then also in Tulsa City Church. And then last weekend, I was with the mission that we've been a part of in the Dominican Republic. And so I fly down after the Thursday night service on Friday, get down there, enough time to speak at the Garage Church. You may know what the Garage Church is. If you've been there, you know. So I speak at the Garage Church, and then I turn around Saturday. I'm with a group of college leaders in the church all day. We are doing some training, leadership stuff. It's an incredible day. And then we go in to that evening. I preach a service that Saturday night, and then I come around Sunday morning, preach, Sunday night, preach, and then get back on a plane on Monday and head back. But on Saturday night after preaching, okay, we get back about 11 o'clock, 11:30 to the house, kind of wrapping things down. I'm still kind of wired up from the evening. I go into the room, and I'm reading. Now, you got to understand, when you're in the Dominican, we are oftentimes spoiled by everywhere you go, you have air conditioning for the most part, okay? And so you go places, you get air conditioning. You go there, you don't have air conditioning. Now, one thing I love about Pastor Oscar's house, and I stay there, is that while the house is not air conditioned, and it gets extremely hot in the evening, the bedroom where you sleep is turned on. They have a unit that they turn on, kind of a window unit. It's different than here, but you turn on, and it kind of cools you down in the evening, which is great. Love it. And I lay there, and it just blows on me, and it feels so good, so good. So I go to bed, 11:30 at night. I'm reading. It's about 12:30. I'm getting sleepy, and then I'm ready to turn off the light. And about the time I'm ready to turn off the light, it sounds like a breaker flips, and basically all the electricity goes off in the house. So the air unit stops working. And I lay there for a moment thinking, fall asleep quick, because it's going to get hot. Anybody ever... You know, I'm like trying to, and that doesn't really help you fall asleep. And after about 15 minutes, it starts getting warm. It gets warm quick. And I am laying spread eagle across that bed. You know, you have no covers on, and I'm just laying there kind of, it's something about it. You feel like you spread out more, maybe you can cool down better. And so I'm just laying there, and I'm getting hotter by the moment, and I realize this is not getting good. I finally get out of bed, and I go into one of the front rooms, and I open the, like this window that is a doorway, and you can go outside, but I just realized I was going to go outside and lay it down outside because I could get some airflow, but it's padlocked. And so the whole house at night, they padlock everything down and you can't get out. And I'm looking around the house trying to find the key to this padlock without waking anybody up, because I feel like I'm suffocating to death. Anybody know? I'm a spoiled American. I realize it. And so I'm trying to get out of the house, and I can't find the key. And so finally, I just lay right next to this barred door so I could get just a little bit of airflow on tile floor, because most countries lay just tile floor, especially hot countries. And I'm laying on this tile floor with just my shorts and I've no shirt on. I'm just trying to cool down. When I lay on the cold floor, it wasn't cold, but it was colder than what everything else was. It felt good for a moment, but as I laid there, I just began to develop a pool of sweat all around me. And I laid there all night till the sun come up. I laid there and I read literally almost a whole book, and it was miserable. And I had this pool of sweat, and the sweat was so much, every time I'd roll over, it was like a suction cup, and just like, because I just like get tired of being in that sweat, and I'd change positions, but then it was like a suction cup. It just kind of pop and all kinds. It was weird, crazy. Anyway, I laid there all night and did not sleep. We get up and go to the church next morning. I'm preaching a service. Now, you go to the church. You get there to the church. It is outdoor. All right? It's hot, extremely hot. The service starts at 9:30, and it runs to 12:30, okay, a three-hour service with about an hour and a half of worship, okay? And so I'm there. I'm like, great. I'm starting to get sleepy, and I'm about to preach my message. And they're expecting an hour-long message. I'm there. But right before service, Pastor Oscar comes up. Pastor Oscar's there, and his son, I didn't realize this, but his son is actually with the city electrical grid system, and basically he's the one responsible when electricity goes out, that because it wasn't just his house, it was like the whole area that went out. And Pastor Oscar's son is looking at Pastor Oscar and saying, why didn't you call me? And Pastor Oscar's like, well, when I realized it was off, it was like 2 in the morning, it was so hot, I didn't want to get you up out of bed, and I didn't want to get you to come out and fix our air conditioning stuff in the middle of the night. I'm listening to this. And I'm like, I'd call him. And I look at Pastor Oscar and I tell him these words. I said, your problem, Pastor Oscar, is you're too kind. Okay, I could understand maybe somebody else in the church, but that's your son. He came out of your wife's womb owing you 9 months of board and food, right? He like owes you big time. I'd be calling up because I'm not that nice. Because I want my comforts. Because I'm an American and I want to stay cool at night and be able to sleep so I can preach the next morning. Now, here's kindness is a real issue. And you know what? It is one word that can change the game for you. It can change your relationships. It can change your marriage. It can change your friendships. It can change how you respond to a boss, how you respond to an employee. It can change how you deal with somebody down the street as they cut you off and driving down the road, and how you look at them. Kindness is a word that can make you happier and can make you healthier. Kindness can make all the difference in your life if you just simply act in kindness. But you can't do that by yourself. But here's the thing when it comes to the word kindness. It's the narrative of the Word of God. From Genesis through Revelation, the overarching narrative of God's Word is kindness. It's God showing mercy. God showing kindness to us. From Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden, it was still the kindness of God that allowed them to live. They could have died right there on the spot and said, God said, let me start all over. But no, it was the kindness of God. Let's look at some scriptures to understand this more. Okay, the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4 says these words. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Look at Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23. This is it. This is over our narrative of our story. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, look at the person next to you and say, yet God. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Do you get this story? It is our story. Is that God had a standard. We failed to reach that standard. Yet God, through his kindness, still gave mercy to us. Still showed grace to us. So we're to follow in his example. We're to do what he did. And in Micah chapter number 6 and verse 8, it lays it out here. Look what it says. He tells us we should do the same thing. He said, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. You see, kindness, it has the power to soften hearts. Just think about that. You know what? Kindness is acting in the best interest of others who are trying your patience. Think of stories throughout the Bible of great men of God that we look to. In the Old Testament, let me give you two of them, Joseph and David. Let's look at Joseph first. Joseph was a teenager, and his older siblings were jealous of him. He was the youngest of 12. In fact, they were so jealous of him, so angry with him, this spoiled brat they looked at from their opinion. They literally threw him in a pit and talked about killing him. They left him in there for days, and then finally they decided to simply just sell him off to a random group of people as a slave. And for the next 13 years of his life, he's either a slave or in prison. Come on, when he was first a slave and began to rise up the ladder of the food chain of being a slave, then he was lied about, convicted of rape wrongly, thrown into prison, and again for many years he is shackled by chains. Again, God continues to bless him. But overnight, things changed. He went from the prison to the palace. You see, I find that God works that way. He can change things overnight. It was bad for 13 years. Joseph was kind for 13 years. Joseph did what he should be doing for 13 years. And it seemed like nothing was turning around. But overnight, he went from the prison to the palace. I'm going to hear me on this. Don't give up doing what's right. Don't stop doing what you know God would want you to do in your relationships. Don't stop in showing kindness. Because you will never, one morning you may wake up and God can turn the tables around. God can take you from being the one that's being put down, made fun of, and then all of a sudden you're in the position of power. And God wants to make sure that you can handle the power, that you can handle it when the tables turn. And that's why sometimes we go through the pain we're going through right now. And he's saying, how are you going to respond? Is it with kindness? Okay, and then now he's the second most powerful man in all the world. I'm not talking about just Egypt. I'm talking about the world as they knew it. He was the second most powerful man. And there's a famine. And he's responsible for stewarding that famine. And then his brothers come from Canaan, hundreds and hundreds of miles away, thousands of miles away, come just to simply buy food, not knowing that their brother was the one in charge of everything. And they stand before him, not even knowing who he is, thinking he is dead. There's no way he's the second most powerful man in the world. And after he identifies his brothers and begins to ask them questions and find out about his father and all that's going on, he finally reveals himself. Now, how would you reveal yourself? Come on, be honest. I mean, these are the same guys that talked about killing you, threw you in prison, beat up on you, picked on you, and then sold you into slavery. And for the next 13 years, you're a slave in prison because of what they did. You didn't do anything wrong. How would you respond? You know how Joseph responded? When he revealed himself, the Bible says that he began to cry on their shoulder and began to weep. When they were scared, he began to say, no, don't worry. What you meant for evil, God is using for his good and glory to save many lives. He invited them in the palace to eat, to sit at his table. He eventually began to set the stage so he can go back and get his father and get everything and move everybody back. He gave them land. He gave them food. He gave them everything. Come on. I'm talking about the kindness of God that many people do not show and display in life on the everyday things, much less something of this magnitude. How about David? David was a man who was just simply doing what God wanted him to do, taking care of the sheep on the backside of a pasture. One day he's given an opportunity to kill a giant. He kills this giant. The fame of David begins to spread. Matter of fact, Saul, the king, brings him in around him. But soon later, they begin to sing David. The king Saul slays his thousands, but David his tens of thousands, and Saul gets jealous. Saul throws a spear at David, tries to kill him again. Finally, David has to run for his life. And for the next 15 years, David's running for his life, hiding in caves, just trying to survive. Two different times, he had an opportunity to kill David, a king Saul, and to become the king. And all of his followers were saying, go do it. Now's your chance. But you know what he said? He said, I cannot touch the Lord's anointed. It was the kindness of God that was inside the heart of David that simply chose not to do it. Kindness I'm talking about. Then after King Saul dies and David is exalted to the king, you know one of the first questions he asks when he's given the power, when he's given the ability to be able to control lives? You know what he says? He says this, who is left in the house of King Saul that I can show God's kindness to? Who? How would you respond? They said, there's one left, Mephibosheth, who is crippled in his feet and is at Lodabar, a long ways away. He said, go get him. He brings Mephibosheth to him. Mephibosheth falls at his feet, begging for mercy, thinking, now I'm dying. And David says, no, Mephibosheth, I'm not going to kill you. I came to bless you. I came to restore all the land that Saul once had back to you. I came to let you sit at my table, the king's palace, every day, and you can eat of the king's food. Come on, that's the mercies and the kindness of God. How about you? How do you respond? I think about, how do I respond? It's not always like Joseph. It's not always like David, but I should, because that's how God showed mercy to me. You know, I think when genuine kindness fights fire with fire. No, stop thinking about that. Genuine kindness fights fire, but it's a different type of fire. Because what we fight fire is we return evil for evil. You do something to me, I'm going to return the favor back to you and maybe up the ante a little bit. But that's not how it works when it comes to the true gift of the Holy Spirit, kindness. I was thinking about last week, Desmond Doss. That was a powerful, wasn't it, Hacksaw Ridge? It's so powerful. And Desmond Doss' story, he saved 75 people off that ridge that night. But do you realize it wasn't just Americans he saved? He found Japanese soldiers that were struggling for their life that he rescued, and he got off that mountain. He got down the side. I mean, the same ones that were trying to kill him, they're pointing guns at him and trying to shoot him. And he said, you know what? I'm going to reach out, because he didn't return evil for evil. He returned mercy. Look at Romans chapter number 12. Look what it says here. It says, instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing what? Go on, did you hear that? Now, some of you right now thinking like, oh, if I do good to them, I'm putting coals of fire on their head. I'm up for that then. Now, what this is about, he's saying, you know what? When somebody treats you with evil, when somebody treats you with contempt, when somebody does something, says something, and you just don't say anything in return, but you come back with kindness, you are literally reminding them of the shame and the evil that is upon them. Come on, you're reminding them of what they really are all about. Now, is things going to change overnight when you're good to people? No, not necessarily. I heard a poem several years ago. I loved it, and it's kind of stuck with me. It says something like this: Lord, help me be kind with both words and deeds, to reach out in kindness to those in need. Lord, burden my heart for those living in sin with kindness and love that flows from within. Do you realize that one act of kindness can sometimes do more good than 1,000 sermons on kindness? Do you realize one act of kindness can break down hearts? You see, some of the hard hearts, you want to break it down? Kindness. Are you going to do it overnight? Absolutely not. Usually it's a chipping away. Now, they got to make a choice in that end. But your best motive is to kind, love, mercy, forgiveness. And you begin to chip away a little by little by little. Now, I was thinking about this week. I love this time of year. Matter of fact, not the heat. But I love it right now. This is good. Come on, this is what we need to stop and thank God right now for the rain and the cool weather. Come on. And I hear that it's like 105 degrees up in Seattle and Portland area. Come on, God, just keep it up there. They love it. Is that kindness? That's kindness. But one thing I love is watermelon. How many love your watermelon? I love watermelon. Matter of fact, it's so much so I'm kind of addicted to watermelon. You can ask my wife about this. Somebody asked me a while ago, in the last 2 weeks, in about 14 days, I have eaten by myself, I think 6 watermelons. By myself. There's sometimes I will take like a large watermelon, half of it. I'll get home like, say, 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. Shannon, I usually get in pretty late. And so I will sit down 9 o'clock at night, and from 9 o'clock to about 10:30, I'll read and I'll eat watermelon, and I'll eat like a half a watermelon. That's not good right before you go to bed. So I'm like up half the night, you know, going to the restroom. Oh. I love my watermelon. In fact, I think we might have a watermelon here. Yeah, we do. Come on. Love my watermelon. Grew up with watermelon. We raised watermelon. And when I say we raised watermelon, I'm not talking about we had a few watermelons in the backyard. I'm talking tractor trailer loads of watermelon. So people ask me quite often about watermelon. How do you know you're getting a good watermelon when you buy a watermelon? Now, I know that there's ways to be able to say, because when I say we did a lot, I'm talking we would haul off literally a tractor trailer load a day. We would haul up to Tulsa to the Safeway for the warehouse, and then they would distribute it to the Safeways. Every day, tractor trailer load of watermelon. How many do you put on there? Watermelons that are about 30 pounds, which are much larger than this, we would put about 3,000 to 4,000 watermelons a day on there. Okay, so that's how many watermelon we're talking about. And so people ask me, how can you tell? Now, there's some signs that I can give you when you look at the stem, when you look at the coloring, when you look at the underbelly, when you touch it, that you can get as far as the ripeness of it. But people say, how do you know it's going to have a good tasting watermelon? Because that's important, right? I got my friend Gary Nelson who basically says this. He said, when I go to the store to buy watermelon, I buy like three or four because maybe one of them is going to turn out pretty good. And that's kind of odd. You know, but here's the thing. Let me tell you the best way to determine a good tasting watermelon. How many are ready to know that? Okay. The best way to determine a good watermelon is there's not a good way. You got to cut it open and take a bite. We fortunately have a knife. I asked them to give me a knife. They gave me a machete, but I'll take it. Come on. Oh. You're jealous. You go right to the heart. Come on. Oh. So good. So good. It's good. It's missing one thing. Salt or no salt? How many no salt? How many salt people? Come on. Come on, the spiritual people in the house, raise your hand. I can do either way. I knew the way, but the real spiritual people of the salt people. I'll just finish the rest of this off. And cut some more. Just kidding. I forgot a wet wipe for Thursday night. And so my Bible got all sticky before the evening was over. So I got my wet wipe. Bottom line is, you don't know until you cut it open and find out what's inside. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of nice people. And sometimes we learn how to be nice. Because nice, you know how to play the part, kind of like that watermelon, it looked nice. But it's not until you cut it open that you find out really, is it right? And it's the same way in your life. You know the biggest way to turn out your kindness? It's not when things are going your way, it's when things aren't going your way. When you're being attacked, when you're being put down, when somebody's coming after you, and you're cut open. And when you're cut open like Joseph was, when you're cut open like David was, when you're cut open is when you find out, are you really producing the fruit of kindness in your life? Come on, church, that's what it's about. And you know what this world needs? We need more kind people. We need more kind people. When you are attacked, what flows out of you is kindness. When you are put down, what flows out of you is kindness. When you are taken advantage of, what flows out of you is kindness. We need not nice people, we need kind people. Come on. So let me give you a few things. Let me give you a few things to think about. Number one is this. Kindness is for my benefit, not for the benefit of others. Kindness is for my benefit, not for the benefit of others. This is key to note. I read this, a cardiologist, Dr. Hamilton, made this statement. He was basically a study of about 2,000 patients. And these 2,000 patients, they were studying the acts of kindness and how that when you act in kindness, the person is being kind to someone else, what it does for them. And when they are kind, when they genuinely are kind to others, it releases a sense of emotional warmth. That emotional warmth releases a hormone called oxytocin. That oxytocin releases a chemical called nitric oxide, which actually causes your blood vessels to dilate and expand versus constrict. And they found that people who are working under stress and anger and mad, they constrict their blood vessels, but actually out of kindness, you expand those, which actually causes your blood pressure to go down, which causes you to have a healthier heart. What is that telling us? It's telling us that kindness is for my benefit. You see, sometimes when we think of being kind to those who are being mean to us, we're doing them a benefit. No. The truth of the matter is you're doing yourself a benefit when you return kindness for evil behavior. Scripture says this. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 17 says, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. How many of you want to be kind? Now, being kind does not mean you give somebody what they want. That's not always it. Being kind is doing what God would want you to do at that time. Next is this. Kindness is something you put on like clothes. Kindness is something you put on like clothes. I got to be honest with you. Being kind is not a natural thing for me. Pastor Hedy, okay, natural. And he gave us some very practical ways to put on kindness. And I want you to remember those and put those into practice. One, go and buy somebody a drink, their favorite drink. Maybe that's take it home to them. Maybe it's take them to their job. Maybe it's that you work with them. You go set it in their cubicle. And whatever that is, just buy them their favorite drink. He said number two is write them a handwritten note. Okay? That maybe you mail it to them. Maybe just simply put it on their car window. Maybe just simply drop it off by their desk. Maybe just simply put it, you know, at their front door. Whatever it is, write them a handwritten note and encouraging them. Okay? Lifting them up and building them up. And the third way is use social media to let other people know of the kindness and how much you appreciate somebody. And he gave us some very practical ways to do that. But I don't know about you, but I've got to put on kindness. And the scripture says that all that put it on like clothes. And how many know you don't wear the same clothes every day? And it's the same way with fruit of the Spirit. You got to have new fruit that's being produced all the time. Come on. Because that stuff falls off. It gets old. You got to get some new stuff on you. And I need some fresh acts of kindness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12, look what it says. It says, since God chose you to be a holy people he loves, you must, say it with me, clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and what? Patience. Put it on. Number three is this. Kindness will always be rewarded. Kindness will always be rewarded. That might not happen the timing that you want and what you think. Come on. But it will always be rewarded. Always. I've got a friend of mine. His name is Ray Harmon. Ray Harmon grew up until he was 10 years of age in Liberia, Africa. He now pastors a church in Frisco, Texas. He's preached here. I've preached for him multiple times. We helped him start the church. Just great things have been happening there. When he was 9 years of age, his brother was a year older than him. His country had a coup, had rebels take over. His family was a part of some of the leading elite and financially was more prosperous. And so that group of people, of the educators, of the elite, were being annihilated. They were being wiped out. And so these group of rebels were just killing left and right, bodies in the streets. It was a tragic thing. Him and his brother had been away to boarding school, and his mom and dad were separated several miles. His parents fled the country not knowing about the kids because they couldn't get to them. He and his brother were hidden by some people for several weeks, and then they had to hide themselves for weeks in the bush. Then they were moved around. They were kind of trying to get out of the country. Finally, after months of hiding, they were able to make a break for the border. But just before they got to the border, they got caught. They were imprisoned. I'm talking 9, 10-year-old kids. They were imprisoned, and then they were brought out with some group of other prisoners to be executed. And the day they were going to be executed, one of the leading rebels was there for that execution. This leading rebel was like only a 19-year-old young man. He notices Ray and his brother and calls them out, says, come here, you two. Pulls them out. And he says, what's your name? And Ray and his brother told him, he says, I know you. He said, a few years ago, I'd go by your house every day. I'd be selling my oranges. And your mom would always buy oranges for me. And your mom would always give me a little bit extra. And your mom would always give me a drink or something to be kind to me. He said, your mom was kind to me. And then he said, these two boys can go. And he made sure that they had personal protection to get out of the country and off to safety, while the rest of them didn't have a happy ending. But that young rebel had a kind heart to these two because of a mom who had a kind heart toward him. You never know when and how your kindness is going to be rewarded. But it will be rewarded. It may be 13 years of pain and suffering like Joseph. It may be 15 years of running and hiding like David. But it will be rewarded. Keep doing what's right. Keep honoring God. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35 says this. It says, love your enemies, do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. But He's been kind to you.